Turning our Bibles to chapter 26 of the book of Exodus. Chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. We've looked at the outer court of the tabernacle. We're looking at this great object lesson. Our last message some weeks ago, we saw four things that God has covered us with. Four great coverings. Again, we go into the tabernacle. It's an Old Testament picture of the fact that the believer is in Christ. Now, this statement is made some 30 times in the New Testament. The believer is in Christ. And so when we go in and we see the lamp, He's our light, but we're in Christ. We see the table of showbread, as it's called. He feeds us. We'll see the incense altar. He is our place of worship. We worship in Him. And then, of course, we go further and we go into the Holy of Holies. But we're looking at this building. We've seen the courtyard. But now tonight, we're going to see we've seen the coverings, but we're going to see the walls of it. And we've got walls of gold and foundations of silver. And that tells us something about our position in Christ. He surrounds us with all, the Bible speaks of all the riches of Christ. Well, let's look at chapter 26 and verse 15. And it says, "Thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length." Cubit was about, I want to say 18 inches, but that won't help us, will it? About like that, yes. That's it, huh? Like, so just hold your arm. That's it. That's a cubit. Thou shalt make boards of the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. And then two tenons, two kind of protrusions shall there be on the board, and these in turn would fit into sockets of silver. And if you look at verse 19, it says, "And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 20 on one side, 20 on the other, on the north, on the south side." And then at the rear of the tabernacle, there were, I think, a total of 10. And it says, "Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, two sockets under one board for his two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons." So that's the basics of what we're looking at tonight. But let's bow for prayer. The believer is in Christ. Our Father, we do thank Thee tonight that indeed we are in Thee. Thou hast bid us, Thou hast called us, that we've been joined to Thee. We're thankful for that wonderful New Testament truth that we see now in the Old Testament tabernacle. And Lord, I do pray, do bless now tonight as we see and read these wonderful truths in Thy name. Amen. Amen. Again in verse 15, "Thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle, shittim wood standing up." The shittim wood was a desert growth. It was an imperishable wood, and these boards were made of it. And yet they were covered with gold. They were covered with gold, as you read on further in the chapter. For example, verse 29 says, "And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold." And there were actually five bars, if you look at verse 27. So the boards stood up. They were fitted into these huge sockets that they're called, but they were very large. And then in the side, there were rings where you would put boards in to keep them, which you'd put rods in or bars in to keep them upright. And so this is a picture of what we have in Christ. Now notice the two materials. There was the gold, that's his deity. There is also the shittim wood. Christ was the God-man. That's the truth that we have there. He's the God-man. And so we have both together. Nobody has ever been able to describe that adequately. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Christ became man, perfect man, without sin, dwells amongst us, took his glorified manhood back to heaven, where he dwells, and one day we shall see him there, died on the cross for us. Now notice the dimensions. I spoke to Joseph about this because for some of my information here, he and I have gone to the same book, and I'll tell you the book, what book it was. It was a former director of the Trinitarian Bible Society, and he was there for 40 years, back at the turn of the century, the last century, and his name was Ethelbert Bullinger. And anybody who writes on numbers, who uses numbers, goes to his book. He wasn't right on everything. You have to, like all of these authors, you have to do a little bit of sifting. But he was so good. And he has had the authoritative book on numbers, and some of the information I'm giving you on numbers tonight came from the former director of the Trinitarian Bible Society. He was there for nearly 40 years. Dot asked, when did the TBS begin? We're praying for the TBS this week. I think they began in 1830. And they went through a good period, and then they went through a very difficult period. And they nearly folded up, and they called Ethelbert Bullinger, who lived in Leighton in East London. He was in the Church of England, but he was a premillennialist, and he loved the Jewish people, and he was instrumental in some of the early Jewish missions, and even, I think, in seeing the Jews go back to their homeland. And so he was a great student of Bible prophecy. He's written two books, though. Well, he's written a number of books. He's written two, though, that you can still see. One is Numbers, and it is the definitive book on the numbers of the Bible. Anybody, any preacher who, whether it was a preacher last Sunday night or the preacher tonight, who deals with numbers, will frequently have at his source Bullinger's book. And he's also written a book on the stars and how that there's a Christian view of the zodiac, how it portrays the gospel from the heavens declare the glory of God, day into day uttereth speech, night into night showeth knowledge. And he shows that it became corrupted. And in fact, in that, you have a picture of the gospel. And so, now Bullinger got that material from somebody else that he developed. But again, it's the source that people go back to. And he was just right down the road from us here for 40 years. And frankly, the TBS never had a more flourishing time than when he was the director of it. So that's where Sunday night's parts of tonight's message came from. And I recommend his books. You have, like every book, you have to do a bit of sifting. We can't follow him on every point. But it says, thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood. And notice, they were 10 cubits was the height of each board. There was no variation, Christ, but 10. 10 is a number of completion as far as human responsibility is concerned. God gave us 10 commandments. God gave us 10 fingers to do His work. God gave us 10 toes to walk His path. It's 10 is a number of human responsibility. Now, we don't keep those 10. We don't rise to that. And yet Christ, the upright one, the God-man, kept the commandments perfectly. We come into Him, and we are complete in Him. And so we see these boards, 10 cubits high. Can you show us, Doc, your... Yes. Yes, all right. They debated. Some have said the cubit was 18 inches. Some said it was 25 inches. But you add 10 cubits. Can you... I don't know if you can do it. But that is really quite tall. Quite tall. So this building, it was 10 cubits high, 10 cubits wide, and 30 cubits long. The first 20 was the holy place. And that had the three items of furniture in it that I've mentioned. The candlestick, the table, and the altar of incense. And then you had a veil into the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, containing the Ten Commandments and the mercy seat with the angel's wings. And there's always been a search for the Ark of the Covenant. Some believe it may be beneath the Temple Mount. That's a very interesting point. And others say, oh, it's in Ethiopia. Some say it was in Moab. The Apocrypha says it's in Moab. Jeremiah took it there. My view is it's probably right at this moment beneath the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Probably. But we'll come to the Ark as we look at this, go through this tabernacle. So you've got these boards, though, these boards. And then you've got foundations. If you look at chapter 26 and verse 18. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards, and southward and northward. But then verse 19, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, and 2 sockets under one board. And so you had these sockets of silver, but they were very heavy. And the entire weight of the tabernacle rested upon a total, if you count around, there were actually 96 sockets. And they were really blocks. We would think of them more as blocks. Silver blocks. And each socket weighed a talent. Again, I can give you what a talent is. It's 100 pounds. But Alex, translate that for us in 45 kilos. Okay. So, something like that. Right. So they were heavy. They were heavy. And that's what it rested on. Solid silver blocks that these rested on. And again, it weighed, as I say, 45 kilos, about 100 pounds. And the great mass of silver was, a great mass of silver was needed. Where did they get the silver from? Where did that come from? Well, if you'll turn to Exodus 30, verse 11. Look at Exodus 30, verse 11. Exodus 30, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then thou shalt give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, and that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. That means they were to give a piece of silver that was 10 gerahs. There we've got that number 10 again. And again, I am able to tell you that there were no coins in those days, but every time they took a census, every time you were numbered, and those that were numbered as representatives of the entire family were all of the males over the age of 20. And you would give about a quarter of an ounce. How much is a quarter of an ounce? You need to know. But we can't go on in the message. A quarter of an ounce. I can only think in ounces. Dot says, I need to figure this out before the message. But anyway, it's a little piece of silver, a little, and they each person would give it. It was a half shekel. The shekel was 20 gerahs. The half shekel was 10. This is what you had to give all the males over the age of 20. But they were representing their entire family when they gave that. And so they would gather that, and initially at least, it was used for the sockets. For the sockets. And when a census was taken, and when you were numbered, and you were numbered as the Lord's own, you were His people, and you gave this. And it says, in chapter 26, 30, verse 12, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, and it speaks about them, speaks about these little pieces of silver as a ransom for his soul. Now, how could a piece of silver be a ransom for your soul? Well, of course, we know that can never be. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but it was a memorial. It was a memorial of the preciousness of our redemption. The tabernacle was placed on silver blocks. The silver always pictured the costliness of our redemption in Christ. And so as a memorial of this, when there was a census, when you were counted as the Lord's own, you gave these 10 gerahs. Again, 10, what is required of man? But we could never do that. Christ did it for us, and His redemption, and His redeeming work. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful picture. 10 grams. Really? 10 grams. Great. So that fits in perfectly, doesn't it? 10 grams. 10 grams. So, again, it wasn't 9 for some and 11 for another. The wealthy paid 10 grams. The poor paid 10 grams, 10 gerahs. Everyone pays the same. Everybody is responsible to meet that number 10. We can't, though. Christ did. They would give the silver as a memorial of the Lord who, in fact, would pay that price for them. But without money, without price, we come. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so that when they gave that, it was showing the costliness of their redemption. And so, upright boards, 20 on a side, probably 8 on the back side, although the way it's configured there is a little bit complex, probably a total of 10, but 2 were together. And the sockets of silver, but then there's a third item that you need to notice. If you look down at verse 26 of chapter 26. We're back in chapter 26. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. You came in on the east side, and that was the side of the veil, the side that you entered. So the western side was, in fact, the back side of it. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. And so these bars, to unite the boards together, each side of the tabernacle, and then each side had a center bar in it. And I think the 5 bars, turn with me to a passage here. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's just begin at verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, number 1, and the express image of his person, number 2, and upholding all things by the word of his power, number 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, number 4, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here are 5 statements of grace, 5 statements of our Lord Jesus Christ. 5 is often the number of grace in the Bible. And I like to think of these 5 statements representing the 5 bars that held the tabernacle, the boards upright, unified them, held them together. Again, a picture that indeed Christ is the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the express image of his person. Number 4, he by himself purged our sins. Number 5, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. But in the middle bar, upholding all things by the word of his power. That middle bar that went either through the bars or it refers to the entire length. But that middle bar, probably going through the boards. And so, this is. So today, we see our place in Christ. We are in Him. We're still conscious. There was, as I say, no carpet in this wonderful building. Overhead, we see the covering, the veil, the inner covering was blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen, cherubims. On either side as we go in, we're conscious of the boards of gold. We see the sockets, the great blocks, the great weight of our redemption. We're conscious. We're still in the world. Yes, there's still desert sand, but we're conscious that we're in Christ. In Christ. Now, God could have presented other Old Testament object lessons for us, but this is how the Lord in Old Testament days pictured His only begotten Son who would come into the world. And so we've gone further. We've seen the outer fence. It was 5 cubits high, still quite high. This tabernacle, though, is twice as high. It's 10 cubits high. We've seen that. We've come in the outer gate. The very first thing we saw some weeks ago, very first thing, is the altar, Calvary. And then after the altar, we came to the laver. Yes, we've been to the cross, but we're conscious that blood from the altar was sprinkled on the laver, and the laver pictures our cleansing after we've been to Christ. We're still in the world, and it was filled with water. Now we begin to go into the tabernacle itself. We've seen its coverings. We've seen its boards of gold tonight. Next week, we look to the left. We see, as we go in, this lamp, a seven-branched candlestick. Christ is, and it's, you say, what is that picture? Well, some say it's the light of the world, yes, but remember, this is where the believer goes. Christ is the believer's light, and we will see this as we go in. So this is the great object lesson, how Christ was presented in the Old Testament. The wonderful truths for us. And when you open the New Testament, it's presupposed that you have familiarized yourself with these, with this Old Testament object lesson of the tabernacle. God's great object lesson, the tabernacle, the tabernacle. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight, again, we're thankful. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And these Old Testament pictures instructed thy people in those long ago ages. And in retrospect, we look upon them and we wonder at the glory of them. We're thankful, O Lord, tonight we come directly to thee. We're thankful that we don't have to go through veils and furnishings, but we're still thankful for the way that these pieces of furniture pictured thee in that long ago age. And Lord, tonight, we're thankful that we are, if thy word tells us, we believe it, in thee, that thou hast brought us in, the believer joined to thee, and in Christ, and we glory in that truth. And so, Father, just draw us near. And then as we next week go that step further and we come in and we think about that candlestick and how that in this lower desert world, again conscious of beneath our feet, still the desert sands and all of the privations of the world, yet, Lord, there is light for us. There is indeed light for the pathway that you would have us walk. We're thankful tonight that those boards were 10 feet, 10 cubits high. And we're thankful that, you have met fully our, what we could never meet. We're thankful for those sockets of silver paid with by 10 gerahs, 10 grams of silver. And yet, Lord, we know we couldn't pay that. You paid it for us. And yet, we're thankful for this wonderful picture of our redemption. Bless tonight. Be with us. Bless as we go into this coming week. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.